You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to My Vagina. I'm Jessie Caron.
I'm Rebecca Frank.
Here we are again having our current, historical, hysterical, infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina-having organisms.
All content made up on the spot, but probably researched. Just kidding. It's definitely researched.
Jessie. I love how that's like our normal thing.
Would you rather have a vagina on your neck or testicles on your thumbs?
I think I'm going to have to go with a vagina on my neck.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah, as you do.
Because it's me, I'd obviously choose an extra vulva. Sorry, I said vagina, but vulva. Obviously, extra. We're trying to be PC right here. But even if you think about it rationally, balls are so sensitive.
Yeah, and I feel like my fingers are already sensitive enough. And how are we supposed to wash glassware at the bar?
Oh my God.
If we've got testicles on
our thumbs? Bartending would be terrible.
So bad.
And just thinking about how often I break my nails just by like jamming it into something, into the bar, into a glass.
You would cut your testicles all the time.
I would castrate the fuck out of my thumbs.
Yeah, you would. Plus, I mean, if you had a vulva.
Castration shouldn't bring
I know.
Shouldn't
Listen,
bring
I was supposed to. Smile to I was supposed face. To work this party that got canceled because of the snow. And the woman who texted me to be like, hey, do you want to work this party? Was like, I was like, oh, what kind of party is it? And she was like, a bris. And I was like, ugh. And then I think I just wrote gross. When my brother,
that is not DOHC approved.
No, I mean, that's the thing. You can't even have fucking
DOH. Why did I say C?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's not DOH
Department
approved
of health. Yeah, Department of Health and collaborators
and castrations.
Yeah, Department of Health and castrations. Department of Healthy Castration.
Ooh,
new thing.
New business venture.
Would you rather tan plaid or sweat cheese?
Oh, fuck.
We used to play this in high school. This particular would you rather.
I've never heard this.
It's my favorite
one. Feel like sweating cheese is conflicting for me because if I sweat the cheese, then I'll always have a snack.
That's true.
But I'm trying to figure out how that would change the course of my dating life.
Yeah, I mean, your dry cleaning bill would be really high.
Right. I mean, if I was tanning plaid, I could like wear, I'd be basically like a Zooey Deschanel where I walk around in the sun with an umbrella all the time.
Yeah.
I could up my parasol game. I think I'll tan plaid.
You tan plaid?
Yeah.
I go back and forth on it and I'll tell you why. When we first started playing this particular Would You Rather, which was always the first question, I don't know where it came from.
Also because I want to hide in department stores. Sorry.
Yeah.
Camouflage.
Yeah, like go under the racks of clothes. I totally used to do that when I was a kid. Like, where's Jessie?
Ding. Pop out.
Yeah, exactly. For some reason, like, I understand now, and I would like to say that I came to this understanding on my own, but someone had to tell me that when we talk about sweating cheese, it's squeezed, like, easy cheese, like liquid cheese.
Oh, like cheese
I just imagined, like, sweating out blocks of cheese.
And yeah, just, like string cheese.
String cheese or like the squares that you get for like appetizers with the little toothpicks in them.
Wow.
They're just like pop, 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 pop. And I was like, that doesn't seem so bad. Just like pull the plate
out like melted mozzarella.
Snacks. Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable.
Which could get complicated.
Yeah.
Plus, then if you're like in the sun and you're like sweating cheese, does the cheese get hot and then you burn yourself?
Do the birds eat it?
Are you just like a seagull dinner plate?
And dogs.
Ooh, yeah, but that doesn't sound bad to me.
Yeah, they would lick the shit out of you.
I love that.
Yeah.
That sounded vaguely sexual. I have a weird relationship with dogs.
Hey, Ella, would you like Jessie more if she sweated cheese?
I'd be every dog's best friend.
Yeah, you would.
If it's blocks of cheese, you would do it?
I just tan so easily. I would just be so plaid.
Right.
I'd be so fucking plaid.
Right.
Tan
maybe
lines.
Maybe I would sweat cheese.
Because that's the thing. Like,
you know,
think
I don't
about
sweat that much.
Oh my God, I sweat. Like, I'm sweating right now.
You know where I sweat, though?
What?
On my fucking mustache.
Oh, do
or
you?
Or on my, not on my mustache, but on my upper lip. So yeah. I'd have a constant.
Yeah, but then you just lick it
like
off.
Like string cheese mozzarella.
You're just like,
True.
Cheese.
True. And that might actually help my dating life.
Yeah.
I'd be like, pizza.
Yeah.
I changed my answer.
Sweat cheese. See, this is why I go back and forth. I've been going back and forth on this for like 15 years.
Ooh, there would be some swamp cheese in my pants, though.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Well, I mean, it's just the like, hottest place.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. It was totally my fault.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I was sorry. Yeah, it's just that I feel bad because, like, I'm just sorry.
It's just that I'm sorry for my existence.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you just kicked me. Like, I'm sorry my leg was there. It shouldn't have been there. I should have given you more space to express yourself.
I'm sorry for not kicking you.
Yeah.
Today we're going to talk about why women apologize for
everything.
Everything and nothing.
All
the
time.
Time.
Like some guy.
Trivial things.
Some guy like hit me in the head with his backpack mm-hmm. at the airport and I apologize.
Yeah. I did the same thing on the subway the other day. Some guy ran into. I was standing still. He ran into me, walked off, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then yeah. he didn't even look at me.
Well, the dude that hit me with the backpack, I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, it's okay. And I'm like, wait a second. You
just hit
me in the head. And I apologize, which I shouldn't have done. But you should have been like, no, I'm sorry.
I hit you with my backpack.
Yeah.
But women are constantly apologizing for the space that they're taking up. I was reading an article today. I think it was the New York Times where some woman said maybe apologies are tiny revolts. Prompting the other person who should be sorry to say sorry. Like acknowledging that something happened, like whereas like he would have not said anything. Yeah.
Yeah, like a passive aggressive sorry to be like, you're not really sorry. Like kind of when people don't say thank you and I just yell at them, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
To get them
kinda
to realize
like
that they're dicks. But here's another thing, and I've tried to be better about this. While I was running, I find that I don't have a problem making eye contact with people, but Sometimes when men look at me on the street, rather than just look aside, I look down.
Yeah. Oh, I do that all
the
time.
And I hate that.
I do it a lot. I do it more out of discomfort when I feel they're staring.
Why do we look down?
Yeah. It's a submissive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like saying sorry with our eyes.
If our eyes could say sorry.
You know, that's, yeah, they are.
Yeah. I mean, not to say that men don't apologize. I just feel like women do it so much more, and we're always trying to make ourselves smaller and not take up as much space. I mean, think about the New York City subways. For me, that is a huge thing.
It's like a case study.
Yeah. I mean, I know we all talk about man spreading, but it is a real thing.
Yeah.
I am constantly looking around at how much men take up space on the train. You don't need two seats.
Right.
Yet I'll see like a man sitting next to a woman and the woman could not make herself smaller if she folded herself down into herself. The only way she could take up less space is if she started cutting off limbs, which I feel like she might actually be considering because she wants to make everybody around her feel more comfortable or not impose.
Yeah, I remember I've been trying to like have little acts of fighting back. So I was on the airplane next to this guy and was he in the middle seat? But he had, not only did his legs kind of like, and like, I mean, I'm not a big person. So like for me, flying is not as bad as it is for like you even, because you're a lot taller than I am. Yeah. I have plenty of space.
That's why I love JetBlue. I'll hashtag you, baby.
Yeah. You know, for me, I have enough space for the most part. But this dude was in my seat area and he also was taking up both of the armrests.
One, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, we all get one armrest. Or no, I was in the middle. And so I had people on both sides using my armrest.
Which is even worse because if you get the window or the outer aisle,
you're guaranteed an armrest.
The middle person should actually probably not only get one, but probably get two.
Yeah, you have the worst seat. So the only thing that you can be offered is two is two armrests.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he kept like encroaching on my armrest mm-hmm. to the point that he was like leaning on like the volume thing and like fucking with my TV watching mm-mm. experience.
No.
So I just kept like inching my elbow to like kind of like push
yes,
him off.
Yes, queen.
Yeah, I was like, and he was like, excuse me. And I was like, no, excuse me.
Oh, he said something.
Yeah. And I was like, no, you have that one.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I was like, you have that one. But yes, then I had girl. To sit next to him for another, like, 3 hours.
Tiny acts of rebellion. I love
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, and then you're uncomfortable, and then you start thinking about all the reasons why you shouldn't have done that.
Yes, exactly.
I was riding the bus, and the same thing happened, and I pretended to be asleep, and once I finally got his arm off of my thing and I was comfortable, I was like, shit, was that rude?
Right. Yeah. Should I apologize?
And he didn't give a shit. He was like the outside seat. He took up all the space he could.
Yeah, and probably had his legs like all up in the aisle.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was I had to pick and choose because it was the arm or the leg. Have you heard of Deborah Tannen?
Mm-mm.
I just recently saw an interview with her and Liz Plank. But Deborah Tannen refers to women's like knee-jerk reaction to say sorry as a ritual way of restoring balance to a conversation, which I find interesting. Like women kind of do it in this way to be like, especially to other women, where right. it's like, I hear you, I, you know, I'm sorry, like,
yeah,
and it's not necessarily something we should be doing,
yeah,
but we also use filters like just and actually and
I feel like
yeah, rising intonations and
yeah, all that stuff
when it sounds like a question instead of a statement,
mm-hmm. yeah,
which is things, not that I want to like police women and how they speak because there's enough of that going around,
yeah.
But I do hope that, like, it gets to a point where maybe men apologize a little bit more and women apologize a little bit less. And just
yeah, there's a balance.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few different things. First of all, saying anything a bunch of times takes the meaning out of it. So saying sorry, there's a difference between just, like, the conversational, oh, I'm sorry, and, like, an actual heartfelt apology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're not
saying sorry for nothing, or
yeah,
I need a good example. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, but like,
like that.
Yeah, there we go. And like, that's the thing. And we use, and I didn't even notice.
I know.
I didn't even
that's
notice.
The worst part.
That's what's so crazy.
Where's
about
Where's the
it?
Sorry jar?
Okay,
let's introduce the sorry jar.
Yeah, we have a sorry jar.
Rebecca made a sorry jar, and it's yeah. brilliant. So from now on, in every episode, if you hear, because one of us unnecessarily said a sorry.
And what we're going to do, once we fill the sorry jar up, we're going to donate the contents of the sorry jar.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're going to donate it to yet.
But we'd love to hear your ideas on how we should donate it.
Yeah.
So you can email us at welcometomyvagina.com.
That would be awesome. Be a part of our apology journey.
So anyway, I'm going to try not to apologize, but I interrupted you. Continue.
Yeah. I mean,
it's so hard to do.
It's so hard. And then to even be like talking to girlfriends and have someone apologize and be like, no, you don't need to apologize. Like, I feel like we do that for each other a lot.
Yes.
Like, don't apologize.
Which I love that we're at least becoming aware of it. So we don't have to tell people to stop doing that because it's not necessarily always a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mean it out of politeness.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
know.
I feel a lot less bad about apologizing in conversation with my girlfriends than I do in conversation with men or around men, because
right.
I feel like, for the most part, this is a thing that women do so much that we all kind of acknowledge what the sorry is.
Yeah.
But when it comes to apologizing to men, it is like there is not a balance, really, because we over apologize and they under apologize, and we apologize for them walking into us.
Right. The other day I dropped something and the girl that was standing next to me went, oh, sorry.
God, that's the worst.
And I went, what?
Why?
I was like, why are you sorry? And she was like, I honestly don't know why I said that.
Yeah.
I was like, that's insane.
That's perfect.
You know?
Yeah. That's fucking perfect. Or like,
and I looked at her in this like real, like this shocking moment of like realization. And I was like, oh my God. And I totally understood what she was doing too.
We all do. I one time apologized to a mannequin twice. So, I mean, it's crazy.
Why the second time? Sorry, I didn't realize you were a mannequin.
Oh my God. So this is actually really funny. So Carrie Ewers and I were on this like epic day drinking adventure a number of years ago. And we like had gone to a couple of different bars and were drinking like way too much white wine and walking all over the place. But then we went to this store that used to be on Fifth Avenue called Fresh on Fifth. At the time, I felt as though the store was really packed with things, like mm-hmm. so many so many racks of clothes, and I kept bumping into the mannequin and apologizing to it. I was like ping-ponging everywhere, and Carrie's like looking at stuff, and I just kept bumping into this fucking mannequin and being like, oh my God, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
And like, and it wasn't even like I would then realize,
oh yeah.
It wasn't even like I'd realize that I'd apologize to the mannequin. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then I'd be like, oh. But I mean, I'm still sorry. Still sorry. So then like the next day.
You don't have a pulse, but I'm still sorry.
I'm still sorry that I inconvenienced you.
I mean, sometimes I think we say sorry to like kind of express, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, girl. Because like you said, you know, that guy ran into you and he didn't even bother to apologize. No. But women kind of do it as a back and forth.
Yeah.
That being said, I feel like we do it kind of because we want to be likable.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it gets to a point where we say it so much, it makes us not seem as competent as we actually are.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're, I mean, but it, I mean, you think about it just in terms of the way that women are kind of talked about, which is that we were just talking about this in terms of Cynthia Nixon running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Just that women, we undersell ourselves and men oversell themselves. And mm-hmm. so I think it goes kind of hand in hand with that, which is that if we take up too much space or try to achieve something mm-hmm. that is like a challenge or like or a reach or something that we're not necessarily like quote unquote qualified for.
Our producer's here.
Hi. we apologize for that. Whereas dudes just assume that that's theirs for the taking.
Wait, time out. Did Caitlin just walk in and apologize?
Oh, looks like you better put a quarter in the jar.
You
have one right here.
You just apologized again. You have
to put two quarters. Oh my God, two quarters.
Maybe a penny.
I can't find my wallet. I can't find my wallet.
Oh, are you for real right now?
I'm really sorry. I'll just do that.
Okay. Just put the whole thing in there.
Yeah.
You look beautiful.
Just take the top off and just
I'm sorry.
Just kidding. That was awesome.
That was awesome. That was
sorry, you were saying about Cynthia Nixon.
Please show my face.
Oh my God.
Explain my face right
She's
now.
She's like completely in shock.
Rebecca
about the fact.
Just pointed at me because I said sorry without even realizing it.
It just comes out.
Woo!
In the jar.
In the jar, baby. Damn.
Yeah, we're out of control.
This is something Deborah Tannen said too that I really liked, and I wrote it down, is that the expectation for how a woman should speak and how a leader should speak is at odds, but expectations for how a man should speak and how a leader should speak is the same.
Yeah, I think, and that actually, I don't even need to make the point that I was making because that's basically it.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about those debates between Trump and Hillary.
Right.
And how much he interrupted her.
Mm-hmm.
Like 26 times in the first 12 minutes of one
and
of the debates.
People don't notice those. I mean, women notice that. For instance, when, what's her name, from Planned Parenthood, when she was in front of Congress, they interrupted her 47 times. I might have that number wrong, but it's around
a lot.
That area. And like the thing is like I can sit with a woman and we're like shaking our heads, but men don't even notice that that's happening because
right.
they're not used to being interrupted, but they're also used to interrupting
right.
and being heard.
I basically was taught by somebody, like somebody pointed out to me once how much more men interrupt or how much men talk over women on TV, in interviews, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even necessarily notice it myself because it was so in keeping with conversations I was used to having.
Yeah.
That being said, I interrupt all the time. My boyfriend will tell you it drives him crazy.
Right, but I was just going to say I'm so used to not being a part of the conversation unless I insert myself. So now I find myself interrupting because mm-hmm. there was no room for me, and so
right.
I made room.
We have to claim
because
our space.
We're pretty strong, independent women,
yeah.
you know, and we there's still things we're learning, but we know a lot of what happens and we recognize it. And so
mm-hmm.
I kind of forced myself into conversations by interrupting and doing what was used against me.
Right. Well, because if you don't talk over men a lot of times, you just don't get a chance to speak.
Right.
So you just have to.
Even outside of gender roles, I do it because I'm a little flaky and I forget things. So I'm like, I just need to tell you this thing. And
before
then
it's gone
yeah,
forever.
Before it's gone and it just dissipates. The one thing that I found really amusing was in that same article I brought up earlier, was that apparently a lot of theories have come out, and I read one guy had written this too, and it really pissed me off. Mm. And him and a couple studies, I guess, have said that women have a lower threshold for what constitutes offensive behavior, which I find really amusing because the things I shrug off daily just because I don't have a rejected baby arm between my legs is outrageous. God, I hope it doesn't just like whip out and wave at me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things. Like, we have to have simultaneously these two different thresholds.
Women have to be everything.
Yeah, we apologize for everything, but we deal with so much. But we don't expect anyone else to deal with anything that we cause.
Right.
So not only do we have to deal with other people's behavior, but we also deal with our own behavior by reining it in and apologizing for it and all of that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. So what men think they're allowed to say, because we apologize so much, I generally think through what I say before I say it and then analyze what I say after I said it.
Right.
To make sure that I haven't made someone feel bad in some way, you know? You know, I like go through all of these mental leaps about how somebody might feel bad about something that I said.
Right.
And I try to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so you think about if that's where we come from. And so the alternative is, I mean, the freedom to not consider other people's feelings at every single turn and what that allows you to feel comfortable saying.
I would save so much time if I didn't consider people's feelings all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have friends anyway.
Who, men?
Yeah.
That face.
Shock and awe.
Oh, my God. The sorry. Oh, I didn't say it.
Maybe put a penny in, because it wasn't, or like a dime. You kind of can't have a case study, like your control. It's like you think about science and you have, you know, your control group mm-hmm. and then you have your other group that is going to have a different amount of sunlight or a different mm-hmm. whatever. And you change this other stuff and you compare it against the control group. Our control group grew up in the patriarchy.
Right.
So you can't talk about something and have the control group
that is so deeply entrenched over generations
exactly.
of people.
Exactly. And so everything has to be through the lens of the culture and society in which we grew up, in which all of us grew up. And so knowing that men and women alike are agents of the patriarchy and not just that women are victims of it, but we also carry it out. So like you can't talk about different levels of threshold without also saying, this is the world that women live in. These are the forces that are weighing on them all of the time. And this is why, like, this is where the apologizing comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about
our ability. It's not just reflexive politeness.
Yeah, it's not like our ability to deal with stuff. It's that we...
It's how we get through the day.
And what we were talking about earlier, thinking about the meaning of different forms of sorry. Because mm-hmm. sometimes sorry for us is an I mean, yeah. that's how crazy it is. And it's a space filler. Mm-hmm. So we apologize for talking too much or for not knowing what we're saying. And so it just becomes another kind of like linguistic tick.
Also, like what you were saying is that while it is important to articulate exactly what we mean, over time, men are considered ambitious and women are considered bossy. That's why we do it. We have to soften ourselves to be more consumable for you. If we state our opinions, we're shrill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the lead up to the elections, a couple of friends and myself had a group called the Shrieking Harpies.
Yeah.
Because
I love that.
Yeah.
I love leaning into it.
Exactly. Because, I mean, think about the number of times people complained about Hillary's voice. Or I listened to this thing on NPR.
Which is so offensive to like all women because there's nothing wrong with her voice.
No. No, nothing at all. I listened to this thing on NPR, and I'm pretty sure it was Brian Lehrer.
You love him.
I love him so much. Yeah. I have a Brian Lehrer mug. I need him so bad.
Oh, my God. I just saw stars in your eyes like a 16-year-old who kisses his poster before you go to bed.
I would. Oh, and he's such a geek. Oh, my God. He's just so smart. He always
all right. Get questions. A room.
Okay. I wish. I love you, Brian. Anyway, Brian Lehrer, I'm pretty sure it was him, but it might have been Ira Glass, one of the two of them, did a whole thing on the number of complaints they got on the radio show about voices. And I think it was a piece on, they were talking about vocal fry, and that men and women use vocal fry at roughly the same rate.
Okay.
But they would get way more complaints about women's voices. Like, people call in to complain about women's voices all the time.
That's crazy.
But very infrequently call in to complain about men's voices.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe that's what we're partially apologizing for, that the sound of our voice makes your ears bleed.
Well, yeah, because people have taught us that. And so we're starting off sentences with sorry before we need to be sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because for some reason, our voices are offensive.
Yeah. I mean, I think our voice, like, smooth like butter.
Like goddamn caramel over here. I got some caramel right in my voice. Like how does this sound better?
does it sound better?
Do you like this? Would you rather give up cheese for the rest of your life? Oh, wait, this is a bad one for you.
Well, do it anyway, because now I'm curious.
Would you rather give up cheese for the rest of your life or oral sex?
Oh.
Oh, but this one's easy. Yeah, this one's too easy. This is a bad one for you.
But it's a bad one because I can't eat cheese and I don't like oral sex anyways. So it's actually like reverse good.
Oh, actually, yeah. So you still have to decide.
So like basically, do I want someone going down on me or do I want to have the runs every day? I think I would have to give up cheese.
Okay. Yeah. But for you, it's like, yeah, which one do I have to suffer through?
Yeah, exactly. Which is, I'm like, I feel like the only person who's like this. But I just like...
Well, you are in this room.
Yeah, it's just so... You know what it is? Is like, I can't disconnect my brain from mm-hmm. what's going on. And so I'm always kind of like, what are you doing down there? But you know what? The other thing about it too is like... So I've talked to people about this before, about the fact that I don't particularly enjoy oral sex. I don't mind giving it, but I don't really like receiving it. And some people have told me, well, people like giving it, so you should just let them do it. And I'm like,
I think that's an easy compromise.
Yeah.
I feel like if you didn't give it at all, that would be, you know, sometimes you get us in a relationship, you know.
You gotta suck it up.
You gotta suck it up sometimes. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I want to specify, like, if you don't feel like doing something.
Yeah.
Because that's also a problem where, you know, I've had boyfriends kind of push me into something where I don't.
The time.
Which, and I'm very generous.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'm very generous and I love sex and I very much like people going down on me. But I feel like in a relationship or in a sexual thing, if there's something you're uncomfortable with, you shouldn't have to do it. There are so many options and there's so many workarounds as long as you're willing to put forth the effort in some other area.
I feel like I should turn that would you rather on you.
This one's easy for me. Yeah, so I'd give up cheese.
Wow,
hands down.
Love cheese.
I love cheese. For me, it's the opposite of you. It's like the only time I'm not in my head.
Okay.
Unless it's bad. That is super stressful.
Yeah. Would you rather, and this one I have to thank Sharon for, would you rather fuck Trump?
Nope.
Or have 10 years of recurring yeast infections.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sharon really hit this one home.
Fuck Trump once?
Yeah, but everyone would know about it because he'd tweet about it. That was part of it.
I don't even care if anybody knew. It's just the idea of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yeast infections.
That's what I said.
Definitely yeast infections. I mean, honestly, I don't even know why I asked the question because my immediate response was yeast infections.
Yeah, I texted the group back and I was like, you guys, I think I'd have to go with the yeast infections.
100% yeast infections.
Because like there's medicine for that, but there's no medicine for Trump.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Welcome to My Vagina. It's time for us to slide on out of here.
So gross.
You like that? Sometimes I make myself laugh.
We'd also like to thank our fantabulous producer, Caitlin Moldenhauer of More Banana Productions, for producing us, hosting us, and for helping us reach our goals. You guys, we are having an ongoing conversation, and we really want to hear your thoughts, questions, and concerns. So make sure to drop us an email at welcometomyvagina@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram, also Welcome to My Vagina. We might even discuss it on our next episode, kind of like we do with Jesse's mom. Also, check out Jesse's videos at welcometomyvagina.com and please subscribe to her YouTube channel, Welcome to My Vagina, so that she doesn't have to bartend anymore.
So that we don't have to bartend anymore.
We don't
anymore.
Have to. Read my blog.
Please check out franklyrebecca.com, where Rebecca slays you, politically smacks you, and reminds any misogynist to sit down and shut the fuck up because she's smarter than you, and that's a fact that I support.
Also, you can find us on Twitter at Welcome to My Vag because of that fucking letter limit. And if you want to support us, you can do that too. Just go to Patreon and type in Welcome to My Vagina Podcast and give us your money.
Give us your money. Thank you so much for listening, and we are stoked to prick your ears in 2 weeks. Bye. Rebecca, say bye.
Oh, bye. See you next Tuesday.